We're going to continue where we left off yesterday. We are reading from Parashat Emor, page 98b. And this is Daf Tzadik Tet, Amud Bet, if you want to follow. We started in page 98. Did I say 98? I meant 99. Tzadik Tet, so 99. Sorry, 99b. We started in page 98. Quoting Rabbi Yitzchak, who took a verse from the book of Tehillim that is referring to the holiday of Rosh Hashanah. The verse is a famous verse, Tiku b'chodesh shofar b'kesel leyom chagenu, and he wants to interpret and give an explanation on this verse that is coming to signify the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah. The mitzvah, the main mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah is the blowing of the shofar. Everything else is secondary. And before he started to interpret it, he gave a praise to the nation of Israel, how lucky we are that we are the nation that, that Hashem chose to bring us close to Him. Not only that, we explained yesterday that when it says Ashreihem, happy are the ones, meaning that we constantly have the potential to reach to a very high level. It's almost like having a car that has 500 horsepower. You're driving in the city, you're not using the power of the engine, but it has the potential. All you need to do is step on the gas and the car will go. Same thing here, we have high potential, we have a very massive spiritual engine, and we may be using 1% of our engine or of our potential. So one interpretation of the word Ashreihem, it means that at any given moment the person can get their act together and reach to a very, very high potential in their spiritual connection to God. Then we briefly, just to recap the last two classes, we were talking about what really happens when we blow the shofar in the world below. We were explaining that on Rosh Hashanah, this is called Judgment Day, the day that the entire world is being judged. People think that Rosh Hashanah is just for the Jews. It's for the entire world. Everybody gets judged on Rosh Hashanah. That's why it's called Yom Hadin, Judgment Day. Because the act that is happening in the world above, it's called Judgment Day because the dinim, or what we call gvurot, are empowered on that day. Why? Because in the class that we learned on Sunday, that has nothing to do with this class, we explained that specifically on Rosh Hashanah, the Samech Mem, he gets permission to be the prosecutor. And he has a lot more to say. And he comes and he files a prosecution, a lawsuit, and now it's increasing judgments. Since there's an increasement of judgments, then the entire world is being judged right now, and the Midah, the attribute of Din, of Gvura, is very, very powerful. So what do we need to do in order for the world to can sustain and Chas v'Shalom not be destroyed by Din, by judgment? Then we have to arouse a lot of mercy. The action that will arouse a lot of mercy specifically will be the blowing of the shofar. Why specifically the blowing of the shofar? So we started going in a more deeper explanation, explaining that's what we did in the two classes ago, referring to a certain verse that Yehoshua said to the nation of Israel when they crossed the river. And he said that our forefathers, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, lived across the river. Of course, there's a question presented, why do you need to tell me that? But I don't know that Abraham Avinu where he came from. I mean, if I know so much more so the people in the desert knew, and so much more so Yehoshua knew, why do you have to mention that? So we're not necessarily looking at the literal level of the explanation that Avraham Avinu was amongst idol worshippers and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, pulled him out from Ur Kasdim, from a community and a society of idol worshippers. And then of course Yitzhak had to battle that too, and also Yaakov. Yaakov was stuck in Haran, also was surrounded with idol worshippers. And Yitzhak, he had a brother that his wife's Esav were doing practicing idol worship. All the forefathers had to constantly be around idol worshippers and they had to battle that. But this is when you're looking at the literal level. We started explaining that Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, their souls are originated, they're rooted in such a high place in the spiritual world that their root is coming from the Sfirah that is called Sfirat Bina. And after the sphere of Bina, so to say, manifested some of its shine, of its he'ara, this godly revelation, into the sphirot, then Avraham, he so to say, manifested from Bina into the sphere of Chesed, which is the right side of the sphirot. It's called Kav HaYamin. And this is why Avraham Avinu is known as to be a great Baal Chesed. Yitzchak was rooted into the sphere of Gvura. That's why Yitzchak is known to be very strong judgments. And Yaakov was placed in the middle in the sphere of Tiferet. Then we continued in talking about how in the sphere of Bina, that yesterday we were explaining very briefly, that a sphira, don't try to relate with it to something as it sounds. Rather, try to relate with it as we gave an analogy of a sphira, is to be like a container. If I have a certain content, then a physical content that I want to place somewhere, I need a container for that. So the more accurate word for it will be a kli, a vessel. But for us to relate with the more spiritual terms, then I need a container. If I want to put here in this charity box, I want to put money, this is a container now. I want to put water in a cup, coffee, whatever it is, then the cup becomes the container. We call it a kli, a vessel. Nevertheless, the sfirot are containers, they're vessels to hold godly light. The sphere of Bina, being the highest of all the sfirot that are called midot, Bina is called one of the sfirot of mochin, of intellect. So we were explaining yesterday how the sfira of Bina, that is called in the Kabbalistic term ima, a mother, it nourishes the sfirot that it's below it. We were explaining yesterday a little bit in more in depth. It wasn't so clear. We're going to have to go through the entire ma'amar, so it will be more clear that the sfirot of Netzach, Hod, and Yesod, in order to be nourished from the sphere of Bina, they go up to the mochin. How does that happen? They have to go above Chesed, Gvura, and Tiferet. Then they're able to be nourished from the sphere of Bina. This is just talking about the technical part, what is happening in the sfirot, and all of this is happening specifically when we blow the shofar. How come? Because the sphere of Bina is also called Shofar Elyon, the supreme or the exalted shofar. We say the word shofar, but we imagine a horn. But shofar is also one of the terms for the sphira of Bina. So I know right now it's not so clear, but Bezrat Hashem, we'll continue reading, and then at the end will be easier to explain it in a more easier way to grasp what is the technical, it's hard to say technical, something spiritual, but what is the actual technical stages of happening in the world above when we blow the shofar, and why do you want to do that? And of course, the reason why we're learning that is that on Monday and Tuesday, when we hear the blowing of the shofar, we understand what's going on. It's not some prehistoric act that we're blowing into some horn of an animal. There's something very mystical in that, and this is the highlight of Rosh Hashanah. Everything that we do is to get to the point of Tkiyat Shofar, and this is the peak of the day. And we all want to be focused on what's going on, to have the right intention. It's a very, very important part. So now we're going to continue. Again, we're in Parashat Emor, page 99b, Daf Tzadiktet Amud Bet. The line starts, Kad Istala Kahu Shofar. Rabbi Yitzchak continues and he's saying, because Kad Istalak, when the shofar, when the great shofar is removed, Ahu Shofar Gadol, this great shofar, meaning, what is it referring to, this Shofar Gadol? Right, it's talking about that the Sfirot of Netzach, Hod, and Yesod that are rooted in the sphere of Ima, of Bina, Mistalkim Im Amochin Miresha Dezir Anpin. Yesterday I was explaining very briefly that there's a concept that is called Siluk Amochin. Siluk Amochin is when the intellect is being removed. And the example for us to relate with, what does it mean, the Siluk Amochin? I gave an example of, imagine you go now to the top genius individual of the generation. Anything you ask him, like Google, he will spit out an answer. Go to him at 2 o'clock in the morning when he's sleeping and ask him a question. He's not going to answer anything. You're only going to hear him snore. Why? Because at this moment, the mochin is removed. So he's alive, he's breathing, the lungs are working, the heart is working, the intellect is not working. So you can talk to him as much as you want. In order for him to answer your question, you have to actually wake him up The second that the person wakes up, then the mochin, the intellect, so to say, comes back again. So here we're talking about when this great shofar is being removed, referring to the sefirot of Netzachot Yesod that are rooted in the sefira of Bina. When they get removed with the mochin, now we said before that every sefira is included in it 10 sefirot. So just imagine in your mind the sefira of Bina, and inside of the sefira of Bina is rooted 10 sefirot. Chokhmah Bina, Da'at, Chesed, Gvurah, Tiferet, Netzachot Yesod, Malchut. So in Bina is rooted 3 sefirot of Netzach Hod Yisod. When the mochin of Bina is being removed, then the sefirot also, the mochin of their sefirot is being removed. And then the result is that the head, so to say, of the Zeir Anpin is the name of the partuf of the midot, then the reisha, the head is being removed, then by default the mochin is removed. Then everything is, so to say, empty. Dela Yanka Livnin. Now what happens is, once you remove the head, this is Bina, then the Banim, yesterday we were talking about, the Midot that are birthed from the Yichud of the Mochin, then it's called Banim, boys. The same way in the world below, take now a father and a mother, they're called in Hebrew Abba ve'ima. The Sefirot Chochma and Bina are also called Abba and Ima. Take a mother and father in this world and unite them in together physically, then what will be the result? They'll birth a child. This is not because this world is unique, it's because that's what happens in the world above. Take the sefirot of Chochma and Bina and make a unity between them, then they will birth a Midah. Now what does it really mean, a unity? I'm sure you notice in a couple different, whatever Sidur you pray, or in, before we do many of the mitzvot, we say, L'shem Yichud Kudsha Baruch Hu Shechinteh, for the sake of the unity of the Kadosh Baruch Hu and the Shekhinah. So every act that we do in this world, talking about a positive act that goes under the title of a mitzvah, we're creating a unity, a yichud, in the world above. So that's why sins are so severe, because I'm creating a separation in the world above. So when I do a certain act in this world, a mitzvah, then I'm creating a unity in the world above. What will be the result? Birthing of a midah. Now, if I need some kindness to bestow on me, maybe I have some financial problems, maybe a health issue, or whatever it is, I need a lot of chesed to shine on me. All I need to do is to arouse the midah of chesed. How would I do that? I will do a mitzvah. Or better to do 100 of them. Because when I do a mitzvah, there's going to be unity in the world above. When there's unity in the world above, in the mochin, then the mochin will birth a midah. That will birth in the right moment, the chesed, the gvura, whatever it is. So nevertheless, when the mochin is removed, then the banim, the children that are beneath, of course, they don't get nourished. Remove now the mother.
Children or boys?
Children, boys. I mean, the word in Hebrew is called banim, but it's we'll call it now children. So it can be a son and a daughter, because chesed and gvura, you're right, is the son and the daughter. But the word that he's using here is banim. So, you know, even if you're looking at the Torah, at the text, it says about us, Banim atem Hashem Elokechem. You are the sons of God. But it doesn't say only about the male, also the female. So, but we're called in general Banim. Banim is in general, goes on both the boys and the girls. You hear, you see in many of the brachot that we use the word Banim. You bless somebody to have to be blessed with boys. Banei, chayei, mezonei, banei. It doesn't say girls, it says banim. But nevertheless, it's included both the males and the female. But nevertheless, when the mother is removed, then the children don't get nourished. So when the sphere of Bina is being removed, the mochin is being removed, then the children, the midot, don't get nourished. Then what will be the result? Will be a void, an emptiness. וזהו בתחילה כשנסתלקו המוחין, in the beginning, when the מוחין got removed, לפני שנכנסו בנוקבה, before the מוחין were penetrated, so to say, in the female part of the ספירות, ואז זיר אנפין הוא בתוקף הדין. Now what happens at that time, the din, the midah of gvura, is what's called בתוקף. תוקף means in a very strong way, a very severe. והמוחין דה בינה, the מוחין of the בינה, the intellect of בינה, ועטרה דה גבורה. Bina becomes a crown to Gvura. If you're looking at the structure of the Sefirot, then Chochma is the right side. It's a crown to Chesed, because you have on the right side Chochma, Chesed, Netzach. On the left side, You have Bina, Gvura, Hod. So Bina is the crown for Gvura, and Chochma is the crown for Chesed. So we're looking here, we're talking here about Bina. When the Mochin of Bina, the intellect of Bina, is a crown to Gvura, Nichnesu v'nitlabshu betoch ha-nukba, the Gvura gets dressed into Bina, because Bina gets dressed on it, like a crown. Gvura is dressed in it. This is called hitlabshut. It becomes in it. What does it mean? Pirush. Bina v'gvura. Bina and Gvura are now united. Bina is above Gvura. De'avim shelachar ha-chiluf ha-sheni, shehem ma ve-ban. This is what we started explaining before, but we're not going to get into that. It's just going to get more confusing. If you remember, I mentioned that in the name of Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei, there are four ways to write the name of Hashem with filling in the letters. It's called Miluy Otiyot. The lowest of all will give us a numerical value of 45. This is called Shem Ma. And then another name of Hashem will be Shem Ban. This is 52. So both are names that are corresponding to the sphere of Gvura. There are very strong Gvura in both the names. Nevertheless, these two names are what are, so to say, the bringing over the Shefa into the world, the energy into the world. Kedein Yitzchak itatakaf, then the Gvura of Yitzchak becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. This is what's called Hitgabrut Adinim. Now what happens is the midah of Gvura of Din becomes real strong in the world, in the universe, and what would be the result from that? Judgment. V'hainu, what does that mean? When the Netzach, Hod, and Yesod that are rooted in the Bina, nichnasim banukba, there's the Sfirot, they so to say go inside the Sfira of Bina. Then what happens? Now, I mean, it's hard for us to really relate with the mechanical things that's going on in the world above, but the bottom line is that what happens is when there's Siluka Mochin, the mother is being removed, then the Sfirot get dressed inside, and then because there's such a void, then the Gvura becomes nourished more and more and more and more, and then the Din in the world is very, very powerful. Now what happens? V'cha de'aitar ha'i shofar. Now when this shofar is being woken up, Dahainu k'sheYisrael tokim b'shofar ba'olam hazeh, when we start blowing the shofar in the world below, uvnei nasha taivin mechateihon. Now usually what happens when you blow the shofar? When one person blows the shofar, he's responsible to include everybody. What usually happens when you hear the blowing of the shofar? You start doing tshuva. The sound of it sometimes is so powerful, so penetrating, and so deep that if you really meditate, you're not thinking about the food that is waiting in the meal after, but rather you're thinking of your behavior, then usually the power of the shofar will penetrate your heart like a sword, and you do tshuva, you really start crying. I mean, I don't know about other people, I usually hide underneath the talit, I start crying, because it's a very powerful moment. And if the Baal Tkia, the person who's blowing the shofar, is doing it with the right kavana, then the sound of it is piercing. I don't know about other people, I always get very emotional when I hear the shofar, especially when it goes into the more later in tkiot. The beginning, you're just kind of warming up. But nevertheless, this is a time when you start doing tshuva. So he says here, when the nation of Israel, they're starting to blow the shofar, now what happens? Everybody starts doing tshuva for their sins. Ki b'sha'at tkiat ha-shofar de-meyushav. When you're blowing the shofar, now there are twice that we're blowing the shofar, if you remember. If not, I'll remind you. One time, we're blowing the shofar in one shot. And there's 100 kiyot that you have to blow, and there's a seder, everybody's standing. Then we go to tefillat musaf, we start praying musaf, and in the chazara, in the repetition of musaf, there are constantly parts that we blow the shofar more. If you remember, you pray tefillat musaf, then the chazan starts repeating musaf, and in the musaf you read a paragraph, blowing the shofar. A paragraph, blowing the shofar. Constantly blowing the shofar. This is the part that where the shofar, so to say, kicks in. So he says here, ki b'sha'at tkiat shofar de meyushav, when you're blowing the shofar in the repetition already of musaf, Ben seder le seder, between one paragraph to another paragraph, tzich leidvadot. If you remember, that's when we start confessing. If you remember the part, if not, open the machzor. This is also very recommended that before Rosh Hashanah you do open the machzor. You start reading a little bit between the lines that you're not going to be so foreign when comes the day. After all, the chazan usually goes a little bit faster than usual. Nevertheless, between those parts, then when the shofar is blowing, this is another thing that is important to do. While you're hearing the blowing of the shofar, you do vidui. You with yourself, even if it's with your own words. You put your hand under the talit that nobody hears, and very quietly you start confessing things that you did. So it says here, צריך להתוודות על חטאיו בלחש. The Zohar also says, you have to confess your sins quietly. While you're hearing the shofar, start saying very quietly, I lied, I said lashon hara, I hurt that person, I stole here, I did this, and you start doing tshuva. But it has to be very, very soft. עד שלא ישמעו הדברים גם לאוזן המתוודה בעצמו. It has to be very soft that you barely hear, you whisper it very softly. לפי שאז מתערבב הסרטן, why do we want to do that? Because in that moment when we blow the shofar, the satan starts getting confused. The noise bothers him. It's like, you know, those whistles that you whistle and the dogs, they go crazy. So the satan, for whatever reason, you blow the shofar, the satan starts getting a headache. ואינו משגיח לקטרג, and he stops prosecuting. ואז דברי הוידוי עולים למעלה, then your confession goes up very fast to the world above. בהתחברות כל השופר, your words of confession, they ride on the voice of the audio, so to say, of the sound of the shofar, and it goes, העולה למעלה, למעלה, למעלה. It goes all the way up, and he sends us a reference to the drush of the shofar, paid the lamed, sends you off to a drush where you can learn much more how the sound of the shofar carries our prayers, especially our confession. Ba'ayan lenagda kol shofara mitata. Then we have to take the sound of the shofar and to elevate it from the world below to the world above. Ve'ahu kala salkig leila. And that sound of the shofar goes up, and it goes up, and it goes up, and it goes up. I don't know if you even noticed, when we blow the shofar, if the Baal Tkia is a little bit aware of what he's doing, then it starts soft, and then it slowly, slowly becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. And I mean, the Baal, it's not just blowing in the shofar. You have to know what you're doing. You have to have the right intentions. You have to know how to blow it. But if you pay attention, you'll see that the sound starts low. And it will go stronger and stronger. Why? Because you're pushing it and pushing it, and the sound goes up and higher and higher. Then what happens is, you start waking up the shofar that is in the world above, which is of course the sphere of Bina. Now what happens when you're waking up the mother? It's like in nature, you see the cubs walking around and they having fun, and then the predator will come to harm the cubs or the little, however you call the little kids, and then the mother suddenly appears out of nowhere and starts protecting the little cubs. Same thing here, you wake up the Sefira of Bina, then the Sefira of Bina, it removes the dinim, the judgment, and it starts bestowing onto the world a lot of mercy. So the mercy overpowers over the dinim and completely removes the dinim. Now we continue. And we have to see in the action of the blowing of the shofar, leitara shofara achara. The reason why we blow the shofar is to wake up the shofar in the world above, which is the sphere of Bina. ולאפקה בהי שופר לטאטה, and to take the sound coming out of the shofar in the world below, אינון קלה, those sounds, שהם פנימיות ומוכן דזיר אנפין. The sounds that are coming out of the shofar are the internal part of the מוכן that are placed on the זיר אנפין. Like I mentioned before, you have the sphere of Bina. Bina is the מוכן, is the intellect. It's placed on the זיר אנפין, on the מידות. And the sounds of the shofar is that mochin. Ad sheyordim v'nichnasim lemekomam toch resha deziranpin. All these sounds, they're pulling the mochin into the sfirot, till they completely dwelling there. The mochin, what's called the head of the Zeir Anpin, is dwelling very good on the Zeir Anpin, le'achaza, and to grab it, that by the blowing of the shofar in this world, we are showing and hinting the chol inun kalin de'la'ila, the chlilan kulhu be'u shofarila, that the same sounds in the world above that are included in this supreme shofar, the haino, we're talking about here the sfirot of Netzach Hod Yisod that are placed into the Ima, into Bina, yit arun lenafka, they should be aroused and to bring down from wherever they are in the sphere of Bina and to pull it down into the world. Let's just do one more little paragraph and then the rest we'll already do tomorrow. Uvehane kalin diltata, and with these voices, the sounds from the shofar in this world below, Yahav in Israel chela le'ela, the nation of Israel, they so to say feed power to the world above. Valda, and because of that, be'inan lezamna shofar beyomada, then we have to prepare the shofar on that day. That's the day where we can, remove the judgment from the world by the blowing of the shofar. Ulesadra kalin lechavna be, and we have to organize these sounds of the shofar. It's not just grabbing the shofar and there's a whole seder there. There's different sounds. There's a tkiya. Tkiya is a sound, a long blow. Then there's a trua. And there's the shvarim. And needless to say that there are sounds in it. So it's not that you just grab the horn and start blowing. Nevertheless, you have to organize it in a certain order. And the order is called Tashrat, Tashat, Vetarat. These are the acronyms of the way you blow. Tashrat means Tkiya, Shvarim, Trua, Tkiya. Then you do Tashat, Tkiya, Shvarim, Tkiya. And then Tarat is Tkiya, Trua, Tkiya. That's the seder how we blow the shofar. Now, before the class, if you remember, so there was one long blowing, one tu-tu-tu-tu-tu, and one long one, another short ones, and then one long one. This is the acronym of these three forms of the tkiya. This is not by chance, it's not that somebody, composer, Beethoven says, okay, I think it will sound very nice if we tu. This is more coming from a deep place, there's a reason for that. Begin li-it'ara shofara achara. Since I want to arouse the shofar in the world above, then I need to know what to do in the world below. Kedei lo'orer shofar acher, I have to arouse the shofar in the world above, which is the imagine, the sphira of Bina, and three sfirot are hanging underneath, Netzach Hod and Yesod. Devei kelilan kale le'ela, that these sounds are included in the world above, and this is what's called the mochin of the sphira of Bina. Here, we're going to stop over here, because the next paragraph is already long. Here the Rizal gives a very interesting explanation. If you want to look at it, this can be found specifically. The Rizal has kavanot, the right intentions that you have to think about when you're blowing the shofar. And the Rashash took these kavanot and explained them in a very thorough way. And this is when a person is the one who's blowing the shofar. Very good if he has a little bit of understanding to read it and to have the right kavanah. It's not just blowing air into a trumpet. That's what it might seem. But there's a lot of thought going behind it. That's why you want to make sure that the one who's blowing the shofar where you go, he knows what he's doing, that he can include you in that. Because at the end of the day, he's your messenger. When the Baal Tokea says the bracha, he announces it, everybody has to listen. And from that moment on, till the end of Musaf, you're not allowed to talk. And because every talk, every word that you'll say is considered the hefsek, and you broke the mitzvah, so to say, now go listen to it again. Go find somebody to blow for you 200 times the shofar. So it has to be taken seriously. But nevertheless, the Rizal brings here an amazing explanations. I think maybe we'll leave that only if we have time, about the kavanot, about the right intentions. Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue the rest of the ma'amar. Tomorrow is, what is tomorrow? Thursday. So hopefully we'll finish it, so we'll be done before Sunday. But nevertheless, just to very briefly do a quick recap. is don't try to get hooked on the Kabbalistic terms of what happens. It's more important that we understand that the action in the world below is to arouse something in the world above. So the fact that we're blowing the shofar here, then the action is that we're arousing the shofar elyon, we're arousing the mochin, the intellect, we're waking up the genius so he can answer some questions. We're waking up the sefira of Bina. Why? Only because the nature of the sefirot at the time of Yom HaDin, of Judgment Day, is that the whole side of mercy is removed and numb. So there's only dinim, only gvura. We need to arouse as much as mercy as possible. So not only at the time of the blowing of the shofar, every given moment throughout the day, you want to make sure you're reading Tehillim. This is not a day that you sleep in. This is not a day you want to take a rest. This is not a day you sit and play poker, whatever. This is a day that every second of the day, you want to be busy with arousing mercy. Now, the best way of doing it besides prayer is you sit and read Tehillim as much as you can. If you can read a whole book, good. If you can read two books, whatever you can, every given moment. Why? Because the dinim are so powerful that we need as much as mercy to be aroused as possible. Since it's a Yom Tov, you can do charity, you can give tzedakah. So we give a lot of tzedakah before that. You can still do charitable acts throughout the day. But nevertheless, the point is to arouse a lot of mercy. Later on, we're going to more talk about what happens after that. But nevertheless, the idea behind the shofar is the peak of the moment when we do tshuva. So also, while the shofar is blown in the shul, you have to take a deep breath, put the talit on your eyes, that no distractions by noises or anything around you, that you really focus. And this moment, I can ride on the wave of the sounds of the shofar. Every word that I'm going to say at this point, every part of, it's the time when I need to confess. So you take the time and you pour your heart out, just say it quietly, and their neighbors don't have to hear every little thing that you did. But the point is that you want to bring, to take that opportunity that you do tshuva, you confess. And needless to say, this is the auspicious moment when the Kadosh Baruch Hu can listen to our prayers, to arouse the mercy on us, and needless to say, that from that will come a great blessing to us. Hashem should bless us with Shana Tova, with a good year, a year of health, a year of happiness and prosperity and success, and goals should be achieved, and dreams should be fulfilled, and the most important thing is that we should see the coming of Mashiach with our own eyes, Bezrat Hashem. רבי חנניה בן הקשה אומר, רצה הקדוש ברוך הוא לזכות את ישראל, לפיכך הרבה להם תורה ומצוות, שנאמר, אדוני חפץ למען צדקו, יגדיל תורה ויעדיר.